Very, very warm welcome. And first of all, quick reality check. You hear a different voice, but don't worry. You're exactly there where you're supposed to be. A very warm welcome to a very special episode of This Expat Life, the podcast. My name is Coco. And no, I am not Amanda, but I am here with Amanda, because we have flipped roles. Back in 2023, I was one of her first guests on this show. So for me, it feels very special to be here and somewhat of a closing, a beautiful cycle, so to say. And as I said, we're flipping roles because Amanda today is in the guest seat on her very own show. And I will be your host, making an effort and hopefully making sure that we will get to know a bit more of Amanda today, rather than her deciding what we're talking about. I will be firing questions at her. And that's not for no reason, that's for a very special reason, because today is episode number 100. And 100 episodes made me reflect, or actually 99 episodes made me reflect a bit on what that means. And for me, it says a lot about consistency, about showing up, about building something that clearly matters for herself, Amanda herself, but also for the community that keeps coming back for more. But it also says a lot about you, Amanda, about the space that you create for your community. And 99 episodes where you have been guiding high-achieving expats on life across countries, cultures, but most importantly and most of all, how to build a life that actually fits and suits you. And if you have listened before, then there's one thing that you know about Amanda, and that's that she doesn't, let's say, shy away from the real story, and she has given me green light. Nothing is off topic today. Let's see how that will go. But Amanda, very warm welcome. I hope that you're ready to be a guest on your own show.
Thanks so much, Coco. Oh my God, I love this intro. And now I'm also a bit nervous. Yes, I've given you the green light. Well, I don't know, actually. It's funny because hearing you introduce This Expat Life also, I don't know, it feels more real now. It's funny. It's usually me in the microphone with one of my guests that I handpicked, or I'm someone else's guest on another podcast. And this time it's very different, and it's my own show, and it has become its own entity. And you're making me aware of that. So I am excited. I'm not too nervous because I know we have a very good connection. And but I also know you also don't shy away from the deeper questions. So let's just see what this is going to bring.
No pressure.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. No, but
thank you.
I'm honored that you asked me to do this. I also take that responsibility serious, so to say. And I'm very committed to truly giving the community that you have built through this podcast, let's say, a bit of a behind the scenes on who you are and how you address navigating this global lifestyle. So
thank you, Coco.
As well.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear that. There was no other person I could ask this, because you were the first person I interviewed, and we actually launched your episode as the second interview. I remember that, but you were the first person I interviewed, and you are also someone who knows me quite well in this global life. And this is why I thought I needed to ask Coco. And plus, we have this amazing connection. And you're really good with people. So yeah, there was no other person I could ask this to.
Okay. So now I get nervous. Thanks a lot. So shall we dive in then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So when I reflected and prepared a bit for today, I thought, you have done this big announcement recently. And the one individual that has missed that, being part of your community, you have decided and communicated that you're going to move on. And with move on, in the context that I'm coming from, is you're going to leave Den Haag, the place that you live. Mm-hmm. You're going to leave the house where you're currently seated. I'm not here so much for talking about what you have decided and where you're going to move on to. I would love to kick off with the process that led you there.
Yeah, that sounds great. Maybe let me just share what my next chapter is about, because you were one of the quite a few people who told me, oh, I didn't know you were moving there, because I kind of forgot to tell my friends and I only announced it here on the previous episode. But I am moving to Mexico City for a year and then we'll see. So that's the plan. After summer, this is when it's going to happen.
Exciting.
Yeah.
That means you're coming closer to me, which still doesn't is not as close as we would like, but you're
Yeah, for the
coming
time
to
zones and for the listener, Coco is based in Santiago, Chile.
Oh yeah, thank you. Yeah, kind of forgot to mention it.
Yeah.
Exciting. How do you feel?
I feel like a calm sea. I was walking on the beach last week. It was a beautiful day, so sunny. And I went for a beach walk 10 minutes from my house. And the sea, the North Sea, was as calm as the Mediterranean Sea. And I was like, wow. And I thought, this is exactly how I feel. I feel so at peace about my decision that I even forget to tell people I'm leaving. Like I forgot to tell you about my plans. I forgot to tell many people because to me, it's not a big thing anymore. And so I know what I've decided. I know what my direction is, and I know what I need to do. And I've made my sub decisions, most of them, so to say. So, you know, there when you move abroad, there's a lot of decisions you need to make. I've made most of those. I know what I need to do. So now it's just a matter of executing it. And I feel so at peace about it. Like there's not, I used to go round and around and around. And now I'm just like, it's not even on my mind. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I'm happy for you, but so you say I used to go around and around and around.
Yeah.
Take us with you on that.
Okay. So, well, you and the listeners know that this chapter here in The Hague has been a heavy one with a lot of things that happened to me personally, and always with the struggle of not feeling entirely at the right place, not feeling like something like it just wasn't the right place for me to thrive. And I went away a lot to compensate for that. So while I was living a very exciting life the last 2 years with so much travel, which I still want to do, maybe a little bit less. Every time I came home, there was this dread of like, oh, I need to go back to my prison. This is often how it felt. And objectively, The Hague is such a great city. I live in such a good neighborhood. I'm so close to the beach. I live in a country that many people dream of living in. I'm very privileged. And also, a lot of friends around me are settling or they're going now for the more quiet life, where I was like, but I want something else. I want hustle and bustle. I want city. I want ambition. And it just felt like a mismatch to me. And for a long time, I was like, but what do I want? And I knew I was ready to leave The Hague. I didn't mind making that decision and burning my bridges. But the thing that I really wanted at that time, a move to the US, wasn't an option for me. Then I also thought of London, maybe. I thought of a couple of other things, but nothing was really a real option in the short term, visa-wise, and also financially. And so I felt very stuck. And I was waiting for an external opportunity, for a visa, for my future husband to arrive, like for something that would make me go, okay, now I'm ready to move. And it didn't come. And I realized I was just waiting. And it left me feeling so frustrated because I felt really in my prison here where I wasn't able to escape, even though I wanted to be elsewhere so badly. So this is what I'm in with round and around, because also a lot of things were so linked to each other. I thought, okay, if I want to move, where do I want to go? What am I going to do with my house? What am I going to do with my cats? Maybe I need to fix that first. Maybe I need to know this first. And so, because every puzzle piece was so linked and the puzzle wasn't complete, I just stayed in the same position and my brain kept going round and round and round. So, this is what I mean with it. And now that I decided, okay, I don't know. At that time, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to leave The Hague. I'm going to leave this house. I'm committing to it. Everything changed. And that gave me the permission to be more present. And then as I was in Mexico City, I just noticed how good I felt there. And this is when I just knew this is my place for my next chapter.
And when, so what I hear you say is partly the round and around and around has been very much externally influenced, right? Like waiting for my future husband, which I'm sure many
Still
people
waiting,
recognize.
still waiting.
That. However, the weight will geographically move to another part of the world, but still waiting. But no, but it's waiting for something externally outside of yourself in order for you to be brave enough potentially to has it something to do with courage
Yes and
for
no.
you?
Yes and no. For me, I am very courageous. I don't mind saying that about myself because I have reinvented myself quite often, even though I had no security. Like, I left my corporate job in London because I was miserable there, even though I had no other job lined up. I've done those kind of things a couple of times, so I feel I'm pretty courageous there. But at the same time, I did not have the courage somehow to burn those bridges here without having that destination or plan somewhat. It doesn't need to be fully visible. I'm not someone like that, but I need to have something on the map that I'm working towards. And so I didn't have that courage until late last year. And so, yes and no, it was about courage. But I just want to speak to something that you said, like a lot of people are waiting for this external puzzle piece, like the future husband. I am coaching so many women, especially, but also men right now who are in their mid-30s, late-30s. They have a good job, but they are not fully happy in it. They are quite okay with the location where they're at, but also thinking, is this my permanent location? And they have this strong desire for a relationship, and somehow they cannot bring all of those things together. And so they are waiting as well for something. And they're afraid if I move, maybe it means I'll have to give up my career or my chances of a relationship. And I mean, I'm a deep believer in the universe and I'm spiritual. And what eventually got me moving forward, to stop waiting was that really, like, okay, if everything is so frozen and nothing is moving or coming my way, let me get into action. Let me start moving so that the universe can respond to me. And it truly feels like the universe is doing that to me right now.
And do you think then, so you say the universe is doing that to me right now. Would you say, I mean, isn't it you that does it to yourself?
Yes and no, but I think, I don't know, like I think there's something about our energy when we are stuck in this waiting mode or perhaps in a scarcity mindset, or we feel everything around us feels frozen. If we start changing how we are inside of our lives, I do feel like the universe is responding to that. So yes, it's you doing that, but I think it's also something bigger than you. And sometimes things happen that you have no control over. Or perhaps you did the action that you always did, but now it got a completely different result. And this
Do
is
you
why
have an example of that for yourself?
I do, but I'm not sure
Because
how
again, we're here to get to know you better, huh?
I'm not sure if I want to share it.
Then don't.
Yeah. No, yeah, maybe at some point I will, but not, yeah. But I truly feel that the action I've been taking in the past couple of years, maybe even, all of a sudden it feels like all the puzzle pieces are coming together this year. Like, it feels like all the hard work that I've put in, I'm reaping the rewards now in all areas of my life. So I really do believe that the decision that I made to just go and start getting into moving energy again has really allowed for things to start moving in my life as well.
Yeah, beautiful. I personally relate and recognize that, but I'm also sure that there's then now people listening and thinking, yeah, okay, fantastic. So you knew that you wanted to leave The Hague at a certain moment. You knew it was not your place to thrive. And then, yeah, low-hanging fruit. You went to Mexico, you felt amazing, and then okay, basta, listo, voy, I'm going, right? But what's then? And whether if it's a decision of moving to another place, but in the context of, navigating life, a global lifestyle, navigating life across countries, cultures, at the same time, a life that fits you as an individual, what is then Amanda's key to success? By
Because
the going
way,
to Mexico is not the
yeah,
answer to that
no,
question. I
moving
know
abroad
that.
is never the answer. Yeah, you bring yourself wherever you go. And by the way, if you hear my cat Phantom meowing all the time, I'm sorry for that. He's quite vocal today. So I think my magic ingredient here is really when you give up the resistance. We had a little pre-talk, checking how we were doing, and we spoke about that. You know, for a long time I was resisting. Well, not resisting, but I was like, I know I want to leave The Hague, but I need to have something, right? I need to have something else, a plan. And at the same time, I was trying to make it work here, but I wasn't fully here. So there was this weird resistance in the mix. And the moment I gave up that fight, so much energy was freed up and so much headspace was created within me, and heart space, maybe I would say. And I've seen this again and again with a lot of people that I coach. They live with a lot of expectations that they hold on themselves, or that other people hold on themselves, or society. They live with a lot of shoulds. I should be able to make this work. They are ruled sometimes by fears, fear of failure, fear of what people would think. But it's not fully aligned with who they truly are authentically at their core. And I really feel the moment you give up that outer layer, that mask of trying to make it work, there is something that starts to flow. And there is a saying that I always keep forgetting, but it's something around there where you stumble is your biggest treasure, or something around the cave that you fear the most, there is your gold, or something around that. But the thing usually that you resist the most, this is where you'll find your personal gold. And so my tip really here for the listeners is get real honest with yourself. What is the thing that you have been resisting the most, withholding the most, I don't know, pushing away the most? You already know deep down which that is. What if you actually start to listen to it, or work with it, or overcome it, or whatever you need to do, or simply let go of it? Because I really think that's where your biggest growth will be.
And do you know the answer to that question for yourself?
I think, well, it's a funny thing, because rationally I already knew, okay, The Hague is not my place, but it took me a while to actually then align with that knowing. And so I think the biggest resistance for me is around there, to really allow myself to say this is not my place. And I know I tried a couple of places already, but to actually say again, this is not my place, to just accept that and to choose the life that I want to live, even if I don't know exactly how it's all going to pan out. I think that has been my own personal journey.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I'm curious because I'm listening to you and I hear you also. My translation in a very practical matter is it's also very much about what feels comfortable, what is the discomfort of certain. We refer to the word decisions, but it's not really about decisions. It's about lifestyle. It's about how you live your life, what feels comfortable, what is discomfort. How much attention are you giving to, let's say what feels comfortable but isn't right anymore, or like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was my whole life here in The Hague. It was comfortable, but not, you know, I don't like to live a mediocre life. I know what I'm capable of. I know how happy I can get. And I was maybe here like 65% happy, 70 maybe. And I thought, this is just not the life I want to live. And yes, it's comfortable. I have my own apartment, you know, everything on the outside is good. I feel very privileged. But it's not me. And what the real issue, or the resistance was also for me, was like, okay, but where do I want to go? I could go to London for half a year, because that's what the visa allows me to do. But I thought, I don't want to nomad the world around, spend 6 months here, 3 months there. That's just not my style. I like to build something deeper in places. And this was also for a while that kept me where I am right now because I thought I need to find a longer place to settle. And when I made the decision last year to leave, I accepted the fact that maybe I would have 1 year, maybe 2 years at most, of a transition where I would spend shorter times in different places. And I just started accepting that. And I thought, this isn't truly what I want. It makes me feel a bit like I just don't like nomad living. And but I accepted that because I thought the thought of staying here longer is more painful than figuring out what I want to do for a year or so and then finding my place. So I found my discomfort there in a way of just accepting, okay, well, if I need to, move around a couple of times to find whatever I need to have, so be it. It's okay. So I just started accepting that as the trade-off. Yeah.
And then I'm sure that people are listening, and me being one of them. It's no, but really, it sounds so logical in a way. But then how do
Yeah.
you do, like, how do you do this? Like, I have so many.
You mean letting go of the not choosing the comfort?
Yes, but also. Okay, so quick recap. You come from a place where you have been cycling and spinning around.
Yeah.
I'm not living a life that I'm thriving in.
Yeah.
And for you, it involved staying in Den Haag. But for others, it can be something completely different,
Yeah.
right? Being unhappy in a relationship or whatever, you name it. So that's the place where you come from. Then at a certain moment, by eliminating, let's say, the external factors of how you feel about the way you feel, right?
Yeah.
You eliminate those, then you come to, let's say, movement,
Yeah.
making a decision, even having a lot of things unknown, unclear, uncertain. And then you start working with, let's say, getting comfortable with the discomfort. And we're 25 minutes in this episode, and I'm wondering, like, how the hell did you do that? How do
Yeah.
you? I want to know how I can do that, but I'm very interested of hearing
Yeah.
how you did this.
Okay, so I think there's a couple of things here. I think first and foremost, there is this deep realization that an acceptance of, okay, I'm not happy here. So it's time for me to change it. And I also have to remind myself of it because when I came back from, where was I? Mexico City. And I saw my beautiful cats and my lovely house. And all of a sudden, I also thought, oh, but it's actually not that bad. Your brain starts negotiating with you. I had to remind myself, okay, Amanda, maybe you're happy here for a couple of days because you just came back, but you have enough data of the last few years that overall you aren't happy here. And you also have proof that you really gave it a try. So this is where I put on like a more rational voice of just look at the data and just accept you aren't happy here. So don't let your subconscious brain negotiate what you decided. And I also think I have a really strong vision of what I want. And I'm very vision driven, always have. And if I want something, I go after it. And so that is, giving me a big, strong belief in what's possible for me. And also, I do a lot of mindset work on that. So this is not just one vision and then it's done. It's something sometimes I have to go back to daily practices to also feel that belief and that vision. But that vision is so strong and compelling that it's so ex like it draws me forward. Like I naturally go there. But then also more practically, yeah, so with the uncertainty, what I do, and this is what I advise my clients as well, we often I think most of the listeners are a bit like me. We are very future-oriented, more than past-oriented. And this can work in our advantage, but sometimes it's a disadvantage because you forget what courageous things you've done in the past and how well you landed on your feet when you moved abroad and got a new career in another language. And these are skills and qualities that you bring with you wherever you go. And so whenever I feel, I was in Mexico the first week, we had an earthquake, I had low-key earthquake anxiety at night, so I couldn't sleep. And then I started thinking, oh my God, what did I do? I made this huge decision. And I don't know what I'm going to do. At that time, I hadn't decided yet. But then I just reminded myself, Amanda, you've done this before. You've navigated more uncertain waters before. Like, this is in your comfort zone because you have those qualities within you. You have the resilience, you have the flexibility, you have certain mindset skills. So I just bring myself back to my big backpack of great things that I'm bringing with me. It's not the future is so uncertain and oh my God, it's so scary. I have a tool set, a toolkit that I'm going to use. And I think a lot of people forget that they have a lot of experience and a lot of qualities that are so useful. And as a coach, I remind them of that. But yeah, let this be your reminder for everyone who's listening to look at the past. What have you already done? And what does it say about you, the inner qualities that no one can take away from you? Because those things, you can use them again. You just have to remind yourself of it. So this is something more practically that I did. And also something that, and this is more about the actual decision making, I guess, or the coloring in of the decision. Once I made the decision, okay, I'm going to leave, like I said, it opened up a lot of space within me. And so my workation was le much less about, or not at all, about how do I fix being so unhappy in The Hague? But it turned into, what do I want? Everything is possible. And so I started seeing everything as data again, as opportunities, as possibilities, as a blank canvas that I could paint. So instead of like, oh, I need to find a solution, I was more like, let me gather some data on and see what feels good for me and how I feel with this data. So I became a little bit less attached, emotionally involved, I'd say, that, and this has really helped me. Does that answer your question?
It does. And what I hear you say is like it's very much about, let's say, being aware and following your own inner compass.
Yes.
And it's of course very hard to follow it if you're unaware of how it looks like, right? I
Yeah.
mean, guilty as charged. However, yeah, how,
Yeah.
any do you want to elaborate on that, or do you
Yes.
want to?
Yes, I do. Because I think expats specifically, well, there's an opportunity for expats specifically. Let's put it that way. If you are someone who has lived in different countries, or you still have a life between countries, we usually identify subconsciously ourselves through relating to the things going on in our lives. I have this job. I went to that school. I live in this neighborhood. I have those friends, whatever else. I play this sports. When you move abroad, all those typical things fall away. And you kind of need to re-identify yourself because what you usually relate to is gone. And this can be a great opportunity to reinventing yourself, to getting to know yourself on a deeper level, and to really build that identity from the inside out. And it can also be a trigger because if you've always coped a fear of not being good enough with working harder, and all of a sudden you have to perform in another language, or as you know so well, in a different culture that operates completely different, you might not be so good and perform so well from the start. And so that fear of not being good enough gets triggered. Maybe you have a fear of being alone or ending up alone. So you always surround yourself with a lot of friends. And then when you move abroad, that social circle needs to be rebuilt from scratch again. And so it can trigger a lot of things. And this is why I think it's so key that you need to know yourself from such a deep level. From the inside out, you need to be aware, like you said, and you need to have that internal compass. And you can only have that compass if you know yourself on that deeper level. Because if you can't differentiate fear from something that you actually don't want, then you don't have an inner compass. And a lot of people still have this, and me, myself too. Like our brain, subconscious brain, wants to keep us safe, and familiarity is safety for the brain. So it will always try to keep you where you are. And so if you have this great idea of, great, I'm leaving my job, I'm moving to another country, and all of a sudden you start to wonder, oh, but actually, maybe I should do it next year. It's better for taxes, or no, it's wiser if I stay here. That's just your brain negotiating with you because it's trying to keep you safe. And you start to listen to it, and you can't tell if it's fear or if you really don't want it. And so you need to be able to know yourself on such a deep level so that you can differentiate between the two, because then you'll have that real compass and you can identify, okay, this is my desire and this is a fear that pops up. So I need to be able to work with it and support myself through this process. And so I think this is absolutely key for every expat, that you know yourself so, so, so well that you can remain so close to yourself as well. Because also, you bring yourself wherever you go, but your environment really impacts you too. And you also know this, Coco, as no one else, I think, because if you live in a different society that has different values on work-life balance, like in the US, it's completely different from the Netherlands, or family life. If I compare Latin America to the Netherlands, it's also very different. If you position yourself in that society, you could start to question yourself. Do I really want that? Is my way really the best way? I see everyone else around me doing this thing, so maybe that's what I should be doing too. Honestly, this was one of the things why I thought moving to The Hague was a good idea, because I thought it's good to grow some roots. It's good to spend more time with my family. The last part is absolutely true. But it was also a bit governed or influenced by my friends and family, all people who were settling down and who were happy with the Dutch work-life balance and the way that things were going for them until I realized last year, this isn't me. And so if you want to live a successful, authentic life that is based in different countries, you have to be able to stay so true to yourself, because otherwise you risk going from one way to another and moving further away from what you really want. And so this knowing, this deep, deep awareness and this internal compass is essential, I would say.
Beautiful. No, and I love what you said that, if, and I'm not sure if I'm quoting you correctly, but if you don't know what you really want, then, something around fear, you cannot distinguish fear between, what is it that you said?
Your
Excitement? No,
desires,
like,
or
well,
sorry, what you don't want.
yeah, exactly. At the same time, I also hear you say, okay, so my decision a long time ago to move to Den Haag and to was partly influenced by what I saw people around me doing. And then you said it took me years to find out that that was not what I wanted. Is there a way to speed up that process?
Good question.
Honestly, I don't think a lot of people would like to take years.
Exactly. I have to preface this by saying everyone is on their own divine timing. And the lessons I've learned, I needed to learn those lessons. And also, it's a bit simplistic for me to be like, well, I moved to The Hague and realized this wasn't for me, because you know, Coco, that a lot of things happened here and that has really impacted how I felt in this house, in this city. And also, I don't know how it is for you, but I kind of felt like I was in the middle of life with, going out, traveling all the time, having so many friends, to then the pandemic happening. And the moment I came out of it, I aged like 10 years. I'm living this very quiet life. And I thought, is this normal at my age? I don't know. But I kind of feel like it was this big or this harsh transition. And now I'm on the other side. I'm like, but that's not really the life I want to live when I don't have a partner in a family, when I'm still single. So I have my own timing to come to all those conclusions. So that's the first thing I want to say. To speed up the process, I think, and I was already doing it at the time, but I think I was just navigating a lot. But like, truly start listening to yourself. There was another decision that took me years, and that was to leave my diplomacy career, although I had some good reasons for that. But I realized by just looking at the data, Monday to Friday, I was dragging myself to the office. I didn't feel like waking up. I was tired every time. Friday afternoon, we finished early at work in Brazil. I needed a couple of hours to just regain my energy again. That's data. That's data telling you something isn't fully aligned. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to abandon everything and change your whole life completely, but maybe some small tweaks will help you align it better. And your body has a lot of wisdom too. So if you have a lot of like really bad moods or pain in your back or shoulders or jaws or head, or your gut is completely messed up, these are It's often signs as well that maybe things in your life aren't really working for you if it happens on a regular basis. So these are things, if you want to speed up the process, start l truly listening to yourself, not to your rational analysis-loving brain that usually dominates and that is, paying a lot of attention to the shoulds, but start listening to yourself by checking in with your emotions and your physical body. I think this is when you speed up the process. And that's exactly what I do in my coaching sessions as well with my clients.
Yeah, and I think then to add to that, I think it's also then important that you actually pay attention, you listen, and you just observe rather than judge your
Yes.
own feelings,
Yes.
emotions, etc., right? This is
Yeah.
something that I at least learned.
Yeah.
Because why is it then that many people, and I was one of them, I'm very happy to say that I
Yeah.
shifted that, but what is it then that many people, especially high achieving expert that you work with, deep inside, they know this is not my place, this is not my relation, this is not my job, this is not my career. But what is it then? Why is the fear of admitting that to yourself so big?
Well, first of all, thank you for adding that part on judgment, because I think you're absolutely right. Like it's not just, it's not a, like we can listen only if we don't judge. So thank you for saying that. And I think why we fear admitting it to ourselves is, well, one, because we internalize a lot of outer expectations. So we think, oh, but this is what we wanted, right? And maybe in the past, this is something we actually wanted and we worked so hard to get there. And so to then admit this isn't it, it kind of feels like going against yourself because it's your past self. And so maybe the admitting starts really with, well, I've changed and I'm allowed to change and this is now what I want to have. And I think a lot of us still carry this identity or image with ourselves that is built on our achievements in the past and the things we said out loud or what we work so hard for, and that is still our lens in a way. And at the same time, also, I think a lot of high achievers, they do like achievements and some sort of security. So financial security, job security, maybe something else, maybe just prestige. And I think admitting that this isn't it means letting go, perhaps, of one of those securities. And that's very scary to a lot of people.
Yeah, I recognize that. Yes, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And reflecting back on 100 episodes of this podcast, and this might feel like a big jump, but bear with me. But so what has it been that this podcast and hosting it brought you? Because I think I can say that it brought a lot to the listener, for the people coming back, for you creating the community, the space, and so on. But what has it been for you? What did it bring
Well,
you?
many things. First of all, it has brought me my dream clients. Honestly, I have people inside my one-on-one coaching and the Copilot right now that are just like a perfect match, and many of them li were listeners of the podcast. So they built a relationship with me without me knowing it, and then they got inside my program. So for me, that is fantastic because this is the work that I do, so I get to enjoy my work even more. But then personally, I think it has taught me to feel safe with being seen and to take up space. I was a very shy diplomat. Like the moment I felt comfortable with someone or a small group, I was very outspoken and pretty dominant in some conversations. But before that, or in meetings or work stuff or events, I was very reserved, like very reserved. And it had to do, at the time, I didn't know, but it had to do with my fear of being seen and my fear of not being good enough. And so to go from this pretty shy diplomat in the background to now having my own podcast and sharing so many personal things is a big jump. And I think it's really thanks to this podcast that, yeah, I've been able to freely share and also see that it was really well received. And sometimes there were things that I was hesitant about sharing because it just felt too vulnerable, or because I thought, who wants to hear this? Like, it's just too personal, or it's just me and my own ways, you know, it's not interesting. And to then get the most connected feedback on those things was really an eye-opener for me. To be like, oh, actually, my personal experience is really relatable for a lot of people. And in this niche or whatever, our sector, we don't always talk about it. You know, I worked as a diplomat, and you don't really speak about your feelings there, not especially not with your colleagues. So there's a certain mask that we put on. And I was really, when I started this podcast, I really wanted to talk openly about a global life and everything that comes with it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, without that mask. And so to see that that is well received has been fantastic. And it also helped me personally to overcome my fears and to really take up my own space. And sometimes I still think like, oh, am I going to make a personal podcast or something about expat life, like more objectively? And I still feel sometimes like, oh, maybe this has been too personal now for a couple of episodes. But to just say, but this is what I want to make, and I don't need any more justification. To go ahead with that anyway, that has been a big one for me too. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. And it's noticeable if you hear, you know, the episodes, and if you hear not only your tone of voice or your attitude, for the lack of a better word, but it's really your platform. And I think being a very loyal listener,
I didn't know
you
that.
really feel, ha there's but being a very loyal listener, I think you really feel, or you have the capabilities for the listener to feel part of your community, of your own individual, your professional journey, your individual journey, but also the journey of making this community grow. So on behalf of everyone, I would say thank you for that. And considering the fact that it is your own show, after all, I would like to ask you, is there anything that you would like to add to episode 100 that we haven't addressed, that we haven't touched
Well,
upon?
actually, yeah, you just gave me something that I want to speak about because
Oh, Lord.
no, you said this welcome or this belonging, this community. Maybe I translated it as welcome, but when I created, well, when I first started as a coach, I really wanted to that the other felt welcome in my space with everything that they are, including their shadow sides, their flaws, their insecurities. Let's bring it all to the table. There's no judgment here. And when I started my podcast, I had the same thing. Like, I want to talk about everything because I want you to know you are welcome with all the emotions that come up with an expat life. And a while ago, during my coaching training, someone asked me, why are you so interested in Latin America? Like, why do you keep going back there? What's the thing that hooked you? And I realized after spending years and years already in Latin America, it was the welcome that I got there as from the continent. Like, I felt truly welcome there. And it's the same kind of feeling I want to have in this podcast. So that would be the one thing I would add to this episode to the listeners. You are so welcome here with everything that you are and with everything that you experience. And I really hope that you also feel that through the episodes.
Thank you for adding that.
Thank you for that question.
No, I started this with saying it's my commitment, or my, let's say, I'm aiming to get to the bit of more on the Amanda behind the scenes. I speak of, I feel that we managed a
Yes.
bit to get a little
Yes.
bit more sneak peeks. I also feel, I mean, honestly, there's one thing apparently that you were not ready sharing, so we will be hanging on that one. It will come one day. And in any case, anyone is wondering, I have no idea what she's talking about. So I cannot spill the juice. But I would say thank you for opening up. Thank you for creating this space, but also thank you for opening up on your own space. It has been a joy and an honor to facilitate this conversation. There's a first and potentially a last for everything. Who knows? We don't know. I don't know how the outcome is. But thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
No, thank you, Coco. I mean, I think we got pretty deep, and I think there's a lot more that we could talk about. I mean, I know we do in our phone conversations, but I think you asked some really good questions, and it made me think quite hard too. So you made me work hard. So thank you for those questions. It was an absolute joy to be in the other chair today. And now I kind of feel what my guests maybe are feeling as well.
It's
So
perspective shifting part of my daily work, really. So there you go.
exactly. So it was good, and like I said, I couldn't have asked anyone else. And I know with you, I open up easily too. So thank you for your beautiful questions and for taking the time in your busy calendar to do this
You're
interview with
very
me.
welcome. It was a joy. It
Great.
was an absolute joy.
Yeah.
And, we'll hear you on episode 101.
Yes. And maybe you should come on one of my episodes again.
I would love to. What
But
are we
then
going to talk about?
I'm going to interview you again. I think that's a good idea.
Ah, yeah, fair enough. Maybe on some Mexican culture, who knows?
I like that. Okay. Yeah. Good idea. Well,
All
great,
right.
Coco. Thank you so much. And to the
Thank you.
listener, thank you for being here, and I will talk to you soon.